Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 21st day of December, 2024. Almost to the end of the calendar year. What has our record been? Welcome also to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are listening to the recording of today's service. I'm glad to have each one of you in fellowship with us today. Our opening song is titled, Look for the Waymarks. The waymarks show us where we are in the stream of time. Look for the waymarks as you journey on. Look for the waymarks passing one by one. Down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Where are we standing? Look the waymarks o'er. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. The journey's almost o'er.
First, the Assyrian kingdom ruled the world. Then, through the Persia, banners were unfurled. And after Greece held universal sway, Rome seized the scepter. Where are we today? Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdom four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, the journey's almost over.
Down the feet of iron and of clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. What will the next great glorious drama be? Christ and his coming and eternity. Look for the way marks the great prophetic waymarks down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, the journey's almost o'er.
Amen. The journey's almost over. We're in the very last days, dear ones. This is the last generation. This generation will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. Well, please join with me for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for giving us the word of life, the word of prophecy, and for allowing us to have thy precious scriptures readily available to see for ourselves where we are in the stream of world's history. Thank you that we were able to discover the four major kingdoms have come and gone, that were in the feet of the image found in Daniel 2, and the next great thing is a stone coming and striking the image. Dear Father, as we dig into seeking to understand the truth of prophecy here and identifying this great stone, We ask for thy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error. And Spirit, please remove all the stumbling stones of wrong interpretation, wrong opinions, falsehoods. We don't desire error because that leads us into bondage. We desire truth so that we may be set free. So please, Spirit, open our eyes, our understanding. Grant us the eye salve of heaven that we may see clearly. Please grant us heavenly wisdom and discernment that we may understand, thus saith the Lord today. We pray, dear Father, that your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with us. We desire the blessing that you have in store for each one. And please, Spirit, work upon our hearts that we may receive that blessing in its fullness. Dear Savior, please dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. And help us to see you more clearly today than ever before. The merciful, loving, compassionate, tender-hearted Savior. Thank you for doing so. Dear Savior, as the great deliverer and physician that you are, I pray that you will be with those that are afflicted, that are persecuted, that are diseased, that are sick, that whether emotional, physical, or spiritual are ailing. We pray that you'll put your healing hand upon them, or even just the thought towards them will bring relief. And thank you for doing so and setting them free according to thy perfect will. Father, we pray that you'll also send your Spirit to comfort those that are sorrowful, that are grieving, that need divine help and assurance. And thank you for providing that for them. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer, for being in our midst, and for aiding our minds to understand this great prophecy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is part two in this sermon series, short series. It's our final part of the great 2600 plus year prophecy found in Daniel 2. And last time we discovered that out of the 2,500 some prophecies that are found in the scriptures, there is a particular prophecy found in Daniel 2 that is currently over 2,600 years old. And it has been about 90% fulfilled with perfect accuracy. But it will not be completely fulfilled until Christ comes again. And God gave this particular prophecy to one of the greatest kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, that this world had ever known. And he ruled over one of the greatest kingdoms in world history, and that was the kingdom of Babylon. We then saw that while King Nebuchadnezzar was laying down to sleep in the year 603 BC, he began to think upon what would come to pass to his kingdom after he had died. And during his sleep, God gave him a miraculous dream that accurately depicted various major kingdoms and ruling powers that would come after Babylon over the next 2,600 years until the final kingdom arose that conquered all others and would rule over the entire earth. We then learned that since Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember this dream, God revealed this king's dream to Daniel, who then went and told it to King Nebuchadnezzar. And in this dream, Nebuchadnezzar had seen an image or a statue that was made up of four different types of metal that was arranged into sections. The head of this image was of gold, the chest and arms were of silver, the belly was of brass, the legs were of iron, and the feet were part iron and part clay. And this image was standing immovable upon the ground until a stone came and struck the feet of the image of iron and clay, and then all these metalled sections broke apart, crumbled, and blew away into nothing. But the stone itself grew into a great mountain that filled the entire earth. We then understood that the kingdom of Babylon represented the head of gold, and it ruled the world from 606 BC to 539 BC, and then it was conquered by the kingdom of the combined nation of the Medes and Persians, represented by the chest and the two arms of silver. Medo-Persia then ruled the known world from 539 BC to 331 BC until they were conquered by the Greeks. And the nation of Greece was represented by the belly and thighs of brass. Greece then ruled the known world for 163 years, from 331 BC to 168 BC, until Greece was conquered by the Iron Kingdom of Rome. And the Kingdom of Rome then ruled the world for some 643 years, amazing, until the year 476 AD. And in this year, it had finally succumbed to the never-ending attacks from the various 10 barbarian kingdoms that had made up its empire. And when Rome fell, these 10 different nations, represented by the feet of 10 toes of iron and clay, then ruled themselves. And for those that would like to follow along in the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ ID28.htm. So lightministries.com/ ID28.htm. And if you look at quote number one, these 10 nations that made up the Roman Empire were, the first was the Saxons. And when Rome fell, the Saxons eventually developed into the English nation. The second was the Franks. They developed into the French nation. The third was the Alemanni. They developed into the German nation. The fourth was the Visigoths. They developed into the Spanish nation, or Spain. The fifth was the Suevi. These developed into the Portuguese. The sixth was the Lombards. They developed into the nation of Italy. The seventh was the Burgonians, or Burgundians. They developed into the nation of Switzerland, the Swiss. The eighth was the Heruli. These were eliminated by the Littlehorn, or the papacy. So the Heruli were destroyed by the papacy utilizing the civil power that was ruling at the time. The ninth was the Vandals. Heard of vandalism? Well, that's patterned after the Vandals. They were also eliminated by the Littlehorn, or the papacy. And the tenth was the Ostrogoths. And these were also eliminated by the Littlehorn, or the papacy. You can find that in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. But this prophetic dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar revealed that after the stone had struck the feet of the image, that the entire image would break apart and blow away into nothing. And then this stone would grow into a great mountain that would fill the entire earth. In other words, this stone was a fifth world ruling kingdom, and this kingdom would never be destroyed. So then who represents this stone and its kingdom? And this is what we'll be investigating into today. So who's this stone? I think many of you already know, but let's let the scriptures tell us. If you look at quote number 2 from Acts 4, verses 11 to 12. This, he's referring to Jesus Christ, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Peter here is telling us that this stone is Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. So Paul tells us that the rock is Christ. Paul also tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 21. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So all these verses reveal to us that this stone represents Jesus Christ. And the kingdom that he is the ruler and king over will indeed be established in the days of these kings when he was on this earth some 2,000 years ago. But as is true, then where is Christ's kingdom of righteousness? Christ never ruled over a kingdom on the earth. So where's his kingdom of righteousness? Look at quote number 3 in John 18, verses 36 to 37. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So these verses show us that even though Jesus is a real, literal king, and he rules over a real, literal kingdom, yet this literal kingdom of God that Christ is the king of is not of this world. In other words, it's not patterned after all the other nations which have ruled this world. So it doesn't have standing armies who enforce oppressive laws. It doesn't have various political ruling classes like other kingdoms. So then, if this kingdom of Christ is not of this world, then exactly where is it? If you look at quote number 4, from Luke 17, verses 20 to 21. And when he, or Jesus, demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So where is this kingdom of God to be found today? It's not a literal kingdom that can be seen on this wicked earth. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it's found within your heart. So then how can you and others become a part of Christ's kingdom? If you look at quote number 5, becoming part of Christ's kingdom is not by joining some denomination. Because the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not within a denomination. So how you become a part of Christ's kingdom is not by joining some church. But it's by accepting the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. Accepting the truth that Christ is the Messiah, that he is your Lord God, that Christ is your Savior and Redeemer, and that he alone can save you to the uttermost from all your sins and grant you eternal life. It's accepting the truth that Christ alone can bring you into direct connection with the Almighty, who is your Heavenly Father. So it's by accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ and allowing his truths to become part of your life, in other words, to reign supreme in your heart, and to follow them in your daily life, that you then become children of the kingdom. And children of the kingdom were represented in Christ's parables as a good seed of wheat. That's Matthew 13:38. But if you refuse to accept Jesus Christ as your God and Savior, or if after accepting him you then refuse to follow his truths or refuse to allow his truths to reign supreme in your life, then you would show yourself to be the children of the wicked one. In other words, children of the devil's kingdom. And these are represented in Christ's parables as a bad seed of tares. That's also Matthew 13:38. Now, even though there have been many attempts that have been made by European kings to try and destroy this kingdom of Christ by attacking his followers, even by murdering him on the cross, yet they have all signally failed to destroy Christ or his kingdom. And any and all future attempts will also result in failure to destroy Christ's kingdom or his followers as well. And why is this? If you look at quote number 6. The reason why they will fail is because God knows the future. And God never lies. And so he has revealed in prophecy that Christ's kingdom shall never be destroyed, that it shall stand forever, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. That's Daniel 2:44-5. So all the kingdoms of the world will be destroyed, and the only kingdom that will stand forever is the kingdom of Christ Jesus. So then the choice is up to you. Which kingdom do you want to be a part of? The kingdoms of this world that are going to fall, or the kingdom of Jesus Christ that's going to stand? If you look at quote number 7. If you accept Christ and allow his truths to become the guide of your life and actions, and you're faithful to him to the end, then you'll be part of his kingdom of righteousness. But if you instead choose to allow the errors and false doctrines of this world to be your guide in your daily actions, then you'll not be part of the everlasting kingdom of Jesus. But you'll be part of the kingdoms of the world that are going to be destroyed. So do you want life or do you want death? I mean, it comes right down to that very basic decision. 'For those who choose Jesus, will you follow the example of Christ's disciples and apostles and begin preaching the kingdom of God to others as they did? And the spreading of the present truth is extremely important, because when enough individuals choose to follow it and become converted, and when they begin to live and preach this gospel message, there's another prophecy that comes into play, and it's found in Matthew 24:14. It says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So this verse shows us that you and others can hasten the return of Christ to this earth, can hasten the establishment of his kingdom much faster than would occur without your help. And this is one reason why this great prophecy doesn't have a specific ending date. Because it all depends on you and others working with Christ to establish his kingdom in the hearts of others. And once everyone has made their decision for Christ or for the world, then the end comes. So there's no ending date to this prophecy, because it's dependent upon you and me and others spreading this gospel message. And it's at the coming of Christ that this great stone and rock will finally strike this worldly image upon its feet. And then all the nations of the earth will be broken into pieces and will forever be no more. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that after a period of 1,000 years of the nations of the world being no more, then Christ will establish his literal kingdom on this earth made new. And all those who have embraced him as their savior will be among the immortal subjects in his everlasting kingdom. So what's your decision, dear ones? Will you choose to stand with all the earthly nations against Jesus and his followers? Will you receive that mark of the beast? Will you bow before Antichrist? Or will you choose instead to stand with your Savior Jesus and his followers in his kingdom of righteousness against all these nations? Will you be among the few that will choose to fall on this stone, or Jesus Christ, and be broken in heart by humbly acknowledging yourself to be a sinner in need of Jesus as your Savior? Or will you be among the vast majority who remain prideful and stubbornly reject Jesus until it's forever too late, and thus the coming of Christ will be to them like an immense rock falling upon them, which will grind them to powder. It's found in Matthew 21, verse 44. The Lord God Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He died so that you and me and others can have this precious freedom of choice in this matter of either eternal life or eternal death. To become part of the kingdom of righteousness in Jesus or part of the kingdom of the devil in this world. And the great God of heaven has given this great prophecy in Daniel chapter 2, which has been and is being fulfilled to the letter. And this shows us that we are indeed at the very end of time and that we need to wake up and make our decision because the coming of Jesus is near at hand. It's right at the very doors. I urge you, dear listening souls, please choose Jesus Christ. Allow His Spirit to work within you a transformation in heart, in mind, and in character. Because throughout all the years of eternity, you will never have a single regret for choosing Jesus. In closing, if you look at quote number 8 from Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, the sheep, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the right hand, or the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So do you want to be a sheep or a goat? And what's the difference between sheep and goats? Sheep know the voice of the shepherd. They won't follow a stranger. They follow the voice of the shepherd. Goats, on the other hand, are very rebellious. They don't follow the voice of the shepherd. They follow their own way. Goats like to butt with their heads, so they're headstrong. So here we see the great difference between sheep that follow and goats that butt. Christ says, follow me. The sheep follow, but the goats say, but I want to do something else. Don't be a goat. We're also told in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 3. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, a sheep, doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. Don't be a goat. And from 1 John 5, verses 11 to 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Dear ones, I pray that you will choose life. Fall on the rock Christ Jesus and be broken in heart so that his kingdom of righteousness can be established within you and you can live with him eternally. This is my prayer. So the rock that strikes the image and grows into a forever lasting kingdom is Christ and his righteousness. And he's coming soon. Get ready, dear ones. Our closing song is You Will See the Lord A-Comin'. You will see your Lord A-Comin'. You will see your Lord A-Comin'. You will see your Lord A-Comin' in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising. You will see the saints arising in a few Two more days, then we'll travel to the city. We will travel to the city. We will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Yeah. They will shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. They will spend eternity. We will spend eternity. We will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the bands of music, which is sounding through the air. You will see your Lord coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over. Then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Amen. Soon you'll see your Lord a-coming, and you're either going to stand with him or you're going to run away and join the lawless. I pray, dear ones, that you will stand with him because you have made yourself ready. Fall on him, be broken in heart, cleansed with his blood, purified with his righteousness, that you may stand when he comes. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you for giving us a prophecy that has continued on for 2,600 plus years. From 606 BC all the way to the present and even beyond until Christ returns. What a marvelous, all-knowing God you are. And what a merciful, loving, compassionate God you are to let us know the future, to let us see where we are in the past, to know what is yet to come, and thus know that the hour is near at hand for the return of our Savior. The setting up of his kingdom, the destruction of all others. Father, forgive us our sins, forgive us our short-sightedness, forgive us for not already being prepared. Help us to be earnest, to be awake, to be praying, to be working, that we may indeed reveal to others these great truths. Reveal Jesus to them in our lives, to show ourselves children of the kingdom, the good seed. Help us to bear fruit to your glory and honor 100-fold. Help us to lead others to the Savior, that they in turn can be saved and can lead others to him, to swell his kingdom of righteousness. Thank you for this great privilege. Thank you for awakening us. Thank you for giving us life today to hear these things. And thank you for all the grace that makes it possible for this transformation from death to life, from sin to righteousness, from darkness to light. We pray, dear Father, that you will continue to send your Spirit and your heavenly angels to prepare hearts, to lead them to understand the truth, the time of night in which we live. And we pray that more and more will escape the darkness of Babylon and the bondage that's in the denominational churches, that they might find the light of life and freedom in Jesus Christ, to follow the Lamb whithersoever he leads them, all the way home to heaven. Thank you for hearing and answering these prayers. Help us, Father, to choose life, to choose Jesus. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his word of life, dear ones. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, insights, testimonies, songs, or requests? Please go right ahead.
I just wanted to share that it was something that was mentioned before, that this is a solemn time to be in. It really is very sobering. Yet, by the grace of God, I also see it as a very exciting time too, though. And my reason for saying that, because there are so many different opportunities, and it doesn't have to be great. It can be small opportunities to reach others. And I find that there are doors open here and there, whether out in the street and about, handing out things here and there. People are willing to take it, and they're willing to read it. So I look at it like it is the Lord moving on different hearts. It may not always be seen so much in some ways, because I can tell we can be inundated by various news from around the world of so many different tragedies taking place. Yet I believe it's important that we also take a little time and look at the different flowers that are blooming and opportunities to be able to reach others for the Lord, because that also is encouraging, and it lets us see that though so much crazy is going on around us and so much calamities may be happening, there is still a harvest. And there are still people who are in their hearts seeking the Lord. And so it's an exciting time. Sobering and somber, yes. But I see it as an exciting time, because soon the Lord will be here. And if we stay faithful by God's amazing grace, and we continue to press on, we will be with him. And that is through all eternity, even as you have mentioned before, dear brother, that it is not something that you will regret. It is better to go ahead and continue to press on, regardless of whatever the trials may be, because the trying of our faith worketh patience, and that patience will have its perfect work if we yield to the Lord about it. It's not always pleasant. I have to say that it's not, but it is a rejoicing in the end, because the Lord has promised it will be a rejoicing in the end. So I just wanted to share that these thoughts that I had. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Yeah, and patience. You know, the saints at least have gotten all the way to the fifth round on Peter's ladder, right? So they've gone from faith to virtue to knowledge to temperance, and they're at least at the fifth round, patience. And that's where we need to be, avoiding that temptation to grumble and complain and to become irritated because things aren't moving as fast as or not going the way we would like them to go. So if you want to be among the saints, you at least have to be at the fifth round and going up from there. But amen, brother. You know, when Christ had talked to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, and she had gone back to town and spread the news, you know, come see a man that told me everything I did. This has to be the Christ. The disciples passed the woman as she was running back to town, and they came to Christ and was discussing with him. They said that they had got food from town and they wanted him to eat, and he told them that he had already eaten. Well, what could you possibly eat? We didn't have any food here. And he goes, well, I've been sustained by doing the will of my Father. And then he lifts his hand and he points to the town area. And he goes, say ye not that there's yet 4 months to harvest, because I tell you now, the fields are already white for the harvest, ripe. And the disciples looked in the direction he was pointing, and here was all the townspeople coming up to see Christ. So the harvest was already taking place in his day. And it was not because the Sunday law had been passed, because there wasn't that issue there. But we see that the harvest occurred after the message that Christ was the Messiah was given. That's what made all the townspeople white for the harvest, being harvested out of the world and into the kingdom of Christ Jesus. So it's the same today. It's sharing the truth about Jesus that ripens the field. It's not that we have to wait for the Sunday law to come before we go spreading the gospel. It's not that we have to wait for anything else, any other event to happen. All we have to do is share the truth in Christ Jesus, and that will bring the harvest. And Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. So in presenting Christ, you're presenting that he's in charge of the day of worship. And he chooses Saturday, not Sunday. So sharing the gospel of Christ Jesus will let individuals know that Saturday's the Sabbath and not Sunday. And then they have a choice to make. Do I accept Jesus and worship on his day, or do I reject Jesus and worship on the day of the Pope or the day of Babylon or, in actuality, the day of Lucifer? That's the choice. Do they fall on the rock Christ Jesus and be broken, or do they stubbornly maintain their defiance and rebellion until the rock crushes them to powder and they're lost? It's exactly where we are in the stream of time, dear ones. It's Christ and him only, or it's reject Christ and gain nothing. So share the faith that you know and practice, and God will indeed spread it like wildfire. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Questions? Please feel free. For those who may be wondering, this next Sabbath is not foot washing and communion. It will be the following Sabbath, which will be the 4th of January. So the very first Sabbath in 2025 we'll be having foot washing and communion. So this next Sabbath, the 28th, we'll be having something else, another sermon. So the first Sabbath in the new year will be a very high Sabbath. Any last thoughts, dear ones, before we close? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, have a very marvelous and great remaining part of the Sabbath. If you're here on the West Coast, if you're at the East Coast, you have just a little bit more of the Sabbath left. I pray that it will be a very wonderful time for you. Have a very marvelous new week. Continue climbing Peter's ladder. Continue growing in grace and in knowledge. Continue living and sharing your faith. And always continue looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same. Today, keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, and darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.